Hi, everybody. Good evening. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening live to the Angel Rock on 107.7 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Otherwise, you might be listening on many of the different places we're carried, especially with the replay. But I invite you to join us over on United Public Radio Network's YouTube channel. You can watch the show, and we have a chat room there. That's where we get questions, and I try and make you part of the show. I watch it while I have my guests, whoever is on. And this evening, like I said, I should introduce myself first. Sorry, if you haven't been here before, welcome. My name's Laura Lee Potvin. The Angel Rock, we cover everything I say within the paranormal. It can be anything from angels to aliens, time travel to law of attraction, positive thinking. It's basically showcasing people that make a positive difference, if you will, in the world. And tonight I have my partner in crime that I live with. I say I have my partner in crime that's my bestie, Seraphine Hurley, on Tuesday nights. But tonight, I have the Dell with me of the Delicious Recipe. He's usually on the hour before, but he gave it up to, we were having a great conversation on our wonderful owner and our producer, Joe Montaldo's show, The Centralist. And I want to give him a huge shout out. He makes my job look easy. So welcome, the Dell. How are you? Since I talked to you like 2 minutes ago.
Yes, and I just figured out why my volume keeps going down. Yes, I didn't put the phone up high enough on the little stand. So as soon as I moved the phone, it would just go straight down to zero.
Yeah, so, I've had that.
Besides the dog knocking the cable out and the cat chasing the cat.
Yeah.
All the fun stuff we had there going on at the beginning. And we've had lots of fun things that are happening all tonight there.
Yeah.
And feedbacks and,
Yeah, with YouTube and whatever. Actually, I've had that happen before with a clip too. And you can't figure out why the volume keeps going down on your phone. And it's because it's just nudging the lower volume button. So, no, I had the Dell on. I like having him on anyways. And every time we talk about, I don't like the name conspiracy theory. I like truth seeking more. So we're going to talk about truth seeking. I actually did up a banner while we were on the Centralist and we were discussing quite a bit going on, politics, COVID, you name it. And what I did was I actually did the video up with the red pill and the blue pill, because that's another way you can call it getting red pilled, I guess, right? If you're looking, yeah. Seeking the truth. Mm-hmm.
Red.
There you go. Well, some people, well, most people, if you've seen the movie The Matrix, you'll know why it's called getting red pilled. It starts out with, take a red pill or a blue pill, right? With Morpheus and Keanu Reeves, who plays Neo, and he took the red pill. That's how the movie started. So, yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight that are going on in the world, things you might have heard little snippets of. As much as I want to give a shout out to Shadow, because Joe Montaldo actually shared her picture she sent me, because we're both in Canada. I always forget to mention that. We're in a place called Thunder Bay. It's in northwestern Ontario, Canada. And we're about 35 minutes from the Minnesota border. And the Dell and I actually call our, I don't want to say fearless leader, but our prime minister, if you will, his Justin Trudeau, but we call him Justin Castro. Actually, I will start that out if you don't know. I think it was you actually, Dell, that made me aware of this, that the reason why we call him that, his mother was actually quite the character. She still is, but not quite in the public eye. But his father used to be our prime minister in Canada. Was it 18 years, Dell?
Oh, I thought it was 27, but I have to double check on that.
You might be right.
It was for a long time.
Well, needless to say, there's two things that have always struck me really interesting about Justin Trudeau. One of them was his mother was nowhere around her father or his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, when she got pregnant with Justin, who's the oldest of the three boys they had. And Joe Montaldo actually put it up at the beginning of the Centralist. I sent him a picture from Shadow Designs, who's usually a big supporter of our show. She shows up and I thank her, as well as Zach Mann. They're both in the chat, actually. I want to say hi. You're back. I see you. Thanks. I'm glad you're here. And I was telling her about this earlier today. We were having a quick chat. And she hadn't heard this quite before, but she sent me the picture she found. And there's one of Justin Trudeau as a very small baby with his mother, Margaret, and Fidel Castro. But there's also a side-by-side picture of what Justin Trudeau looks like probably within about the last 5 years, and another one of Fidel Castro around the same age. Yeah. They're striking when you put them together. Right, Del?
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know if you
were... I'm just going to do a little hey, hey, hey to the panel that's out there.
You're going to do a little
yeah,
hey, hey? Okay. Well, the other thing I was going to say that always struck me as really strange, and I probably have this video saved, but it was from a couple of years ago, and I guess his father, Pierre Trudeau, who would have been the Prime Minister of Canada at that time, and he was there with his wife, Margaret, and they had Justin Trudeau there he was about 4 months old, and they were at a White House dinner. I believe it had quite a few leaders from around the world. Richard Nixon was in power at that time. And you can see him on the video saying, "I look forward to when your son Justin is Prime Minister of Canada." Now, coincidence, or was it planned that way? What do you think?
Yeah, this seems to be, and I think we lightly touched on this in the past show beforehand here, mm-hmm. on just in the past 2 hours, is that it seems to be that a lot of people that get into power are families that are connected. Like, you look at what's happened there. You have Bushes, Clintons. Yep. You got to figure. Like, you know what the thing is funny, though, with Trump, right? Trump is an independent, wealthy person, independent, not connected to anything that's there, ran on his own campaign, his own money, but he was also an actor in Hollywood. But nobody, or a lot of people, seem to forget about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was an actor. And mm-hmm. also, he was a big proponent for smoking cigarettes. And with a chimpanzee, and a lot of things that went through that. And that's all been whitewashed out, right? Erased. And it's funny, and it's how funny how this new current content of millennial XYG XYZ, whatever the letters they want to call themselves anymore, is that they want to erase history, but they're actually repeating history over and over and over again, and they don't yep. see that.
Well, actually,
and the powers that be like I've mentioned this many times, the OSF, who has funded BLM, Antifa, and stuff like that, want to erase that history. Like, what was it, last week, there just before we went out to camp, they're burning Bibles, they're burning books. Like, how twisted in the head are you that you have to do that? Like, that makes no sense at all.
We, and anybody that I consider a call awake, I guess it's kind of overused that term, but it's because then we're destined to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over throughout history, because we're not able to know what the truth was to learn from past mistakes, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
I wanted to add this before I forget, and then please continue. All I was going to say was, you were the one, I think it was with our friend Bill Bean when we had him on. This was earlier on when I started the Angel Rock. And you went into all the history, even with the popes. It's the same 13 families, right? Yeah. It's always the same familial line, or, you know, we're the one again. Well, we talk about this quite a bit because you do a lot of research for your show, The Delicious Recipe, because you do talk about these things on your show. And the more you go through these things and you start connecting the dots, even if they don't have the same last name, it's always the same familial lines, or it's the same people. But you always said, follow the money. And I've been hearing that more and more and more. If you start doing your research and you follow the money, you get the answers. Sorry, you were going to say something. I didn't.
Well, this is the thing, right? So they want to tear down statues and monuments and stuff like that here in North America and do that. It says, how about you go and swim across the Atlantic and start mm-hmm. taking down the bricks of the pyramids? Because there was a lot more slavery that happened over there, a lot more corruption that happened over there, and figure it out. But you know what? That's too hard of a job, because you can't move those bricks.
Well,
but just tearing down stuff and throwing paint on things and doing stuff. It's just childish games. It's like kindergarten, and it's unbelievable. And you know what? What are they doing? They're protesting and burning down independent business places and doing that. It says, but they're not going over to the mayor's house and protesting and putting up a camp on her lawn. Because you know what? If you ever did that, the cops would be right in there and stuff like that and would be booting them right out. And this is funny is how they sort of twist the conversation. It's so, it's just unbelievable. I just, I don't know what it's just sickening. And I know what, and people should just be fed up with these people and just boot them to the curb because you know what, it's just unbelievable because it's happening here in Canada and the people are actually reacting to it too. And they're saying like, not in my area, do that over there.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to read some of the comments that we've got too on YouTube. The one thing I did want to add is that, you know what, I really believe a lot of this is a test to see how much we would put up with, how we would fall in line as most of the public. And then a lot of the people that we're seeing that are supporting what they're supporting, or they're only getting like a little piece of the puzzle or whatever it is, and they're not looking at the whole picture, what's behind it. And I even said this to you myself, if I hadn't known the things that I know, and I was on social media, of course, I mean, I don't believe in racism, nor, and I don't support that, I probably would have jumped on this too. The BLM movement, for example, showing my support, not realizing what was really behind it. I'm just going to jump to the comments. Hang on one sec here. So we've got Joe actually jumped in here while we were going live because, like Dell said at the beginning of the show, our puppy decided to disconnect his cable, so he had to reboot. So thanks, Joe, for holding down the fort in the chat. Shadow Design says, I'm back. And then she said, red equals power. And Zach Mann's here. He said, good evening, my friends. Glad to have both you here. Shadow Design said, I was going to take a trip, meaning your way, she said, because she's in Southern Ontario. She said, but it's 20 hours away. Yes, you have that right, because most people, even in Toronto, it's about 20 hours away by car. And most people say, yeah, I know where Thunder Bay is. That's only a couple hours away from Toronto. That's actually North Bay. And you'll get even people saying, well, you're not that far away from Chicago or wherever. Yeah, we are, because you always have to, you have to drive all around the Great Lakes. You can't go across them. So that's why we're basically, we were just talking about this too. I think we're almost right in the center of Canada, if you look at it, right at the northwest corner of Lake Superior. That's too bad. Well, we'll have to see if you ever get up here, Shadow Designs. I'd love to meet with you in person. She also said, my parents had nothing good to say about Margaret Trudeau. I was told way back then that she was busy with other men. Yep, she was hanging out. She was at Studio 54. Is that what it was called in New York? That the disco? She was a Rolling Stone groupie, which is interesting considering who her husband was. He was a lot older than her. But
well, there were stories about, and I cannot confirm or deny on these ones, there is that she liked her weed. And she was smoking weed in front of the RCMP officers when marijuana was illegal. And she'd be just smoking there. Because she was the prime minister's wife, they wouldn't do anything about it. So you got to figure the hierarchy of power that works in here. And you got to look at it, how it works here today.
Yeah, right? Not a lot has changed, even though different time. And I've said this to you, I think it was Joe that just said that. Was it Joe or was it Michael Angley, who's another one of our hosts that usually joins our host chat? He's on Tuesday nights. I believe it's his paranormal show. He's got a great show, guys. I think it's 8 p.m. Central. Yeah. Gets a lot of great guests, good topics. And then he does more of a news type show on Thursday nights at the same time too here on UPRN. So check it out. It was either Joe or Michael that had said that. I think it was Joe. That as time goes on, more that people think it changes, it really doesn't. It might be wrapped up with a different wrapping paper or bow, but a lot doesn't change. I'm just going to read the other comments here. Shadow Designs also said, well, I believe it was planned in exchange for secrecy, she said, was, and then, well, this is an interesting thought, she said, was Justin Castro, I'll say, molested by the Clintons. And then she says, it's how a lot of Hollywood... What was that?
I don't know about that one about being molested by the Clintons, but well, I think that the resemblance is very, very close to a Castro genetic line.
Yes, even down to the smirk almost, or if you want to call it half a smile. Well, she also added the reason why she mentioned that was it's how a lot of Hollywood celebs got movie and TV roles. Yeah. Zach Mann said, it's all families that are connected together. It's very rare for someone who isn't in these groups of families to ascend to positions of power. And I'm going to go back to that because I want to talk a little bit about SRA, that there's little bits that are leaking out when we start connecting the dots. So I'll actually put the link in the chat room, although Shadow Designs and Zach Mann both have the link. I told them we'd talk about it a little bit. Shadow Designs also said Schwarzenegger married a Kennedy and went into politics. He says, well, these are her words. She says, then molested or took advantage of a housekeeper. He does have a child, but it's, from what I've heard, again, how true it is, I don't know, but he does support this illegitimate child. And I think he's paying for his college and stuff. So at least he's acknowledged him, which is a good thing. Zach Mann said these activists have been destroying statues of figures who had nothing to do with slavery. In Philadelphia, they defaced a statue of Matthias Baldwin. He was an abolitionist who built schools for free. Then he also said African Americans and African Americans paid the teacher's salary. Paid the teacher's salaries out of his own pocket. I believe that's what he was trying to say.
Oh, wow, eh?
Mm-hmm. But the, yeah, we're seeing that. And a lot of this stuff is leaking as our fearless leader, as I call him, owner of UPR, and he always teases us that we're just annexed Americans up here in Canada. We always laugh, but actually Joe does have quite a few good points when we talk about this off air, doesn't he?
For sure.
Well, we're all called North America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, so is that I did a show there back a long time ago, and I was talking about propaganda. And there's a person whose name is Joseph Goebbels, and he was the Nazi propagandist. Yeah. And his quote is, it says, if you tell a lie long enough, it begins to be truth. Mm-hmm. And people will believe it to be truth, even though it's still a lie.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this go through what's going through here now. Like, it's crazy to see how if people are actually aware and look at what the news media has done and what the WHO and the CDC and even in Canada there too, they've flip-flopped almost about every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. About how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And it's funny is that even on social media, after I came back from camp, or we came back from camp, mm-hmm. and people have this mentality of mm-hmm. 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm going, what are you talking about? Like, you're crazy. Like, says, aren't you listening to anything? Aren't mm-hmm. you aware of anything? But they're listening to media sources that have an agenda, and mm-hmm. they're putting things through. You got to understand, right here in Canada, the CDC, the CBC is funded by the government.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. 100% funded by the government too, I might add.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so they're a government propaganda machine. So then you have a person that's in the leader, Justin Castro, and they have the media market that does that, and they've run their narrative.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the best way to say it. Anyways, but as I guess you can't say Justin and Trudeau in the same sentence because that might be problems, but go, whatever.
Well,
but
I know what you're saying, though, and you're right. And that's why I know you do this, I do this. And I have respect for a lot of people that will present maybe what they found. I call it the receipts, but they provide basically proof, because proof can be manufactured. I will agree with that, even though it may look real, may walk and talk like a duck. We can't always assume it is a duck. That's why I know you do this. I do try to remember to do this, as well as others I've seen out there that are truth seeking, that will say to you, don't trust what I tell you, or, you know, take everything I say at 100% truth. Go do your own research, see what you find for yourself. If you can, though, use a variety of different sources, not just the internet. There's books out there. There's all kinds of different sources of information, and see what rings true with you. Even as being a psychic medium myself, and I'm also, I usually start the show saying this. I do Akashic record readings. I do, spiritual teacher. I also do chakra healing, crystal Reiki, things like that. But when it comes to information from spirit, I will actually tell people, take what resonates with you and leave the rest. But I also encourage you to keep an open mind, because although something may not resonate with you right here in this moment, in this second, it could be something that may come up, you know, in the future at some time, that it'll all fall, all the pieces will fall into place, and it may make sense to you. But I think that that's the big thing here, is to keep an open mind. And if we were all able, I'm not just talking about, here in North America, wherever you are, is to be able to step back from the situation. A friend of mine that I have on the show quite frequently, Ken Willis, actually said this: if you're able to observe what's going on, not absorb it, but observe, look at the big picture, and not get pulled into it. Because that's what I see right now, and I know we've talked about this off the air, is that people, it's almost like what's going on with the news, even if you follow who owns the news and you go right to the top, you'll see that it's the same families, it's owned by the same people pretty well. So you know you're going to get the same pretty well narrative, if you will. Is to stand back, though, and it's almost like from the Wizard of Oz, don't observe what the man behind the curtain is doing. So they're pulling your attention in one way, to whether you get outraged or upset or whatever it is, so that you're not paying attention to what may be going on that's a little quieter, that say you may not be seeing in the main news. But it's really important to take a look at the whole thing. What do you think about that, Del?
Yep, that's very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to it's important to go and get away from MSM, mainstream media, because like you said, there's a lot of independent people that are actually digging in and doing sources, right? They don't work for Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or all those different things, right? They're just getting whatever their money to get from donations, Patreon and stuff like that, but they're also finding out and digging deep into the whole part that was not being reported. And this is the part that's, and you don't have to believe one source, check all of them out, and then compare in between all the stuff, what the mainstream media is telling, what the independents are telling you, and then look at, and just look at stuff and just go, hey, well, I'm smart enough to figure out what could be there and make your decision through that. But that, like what we saw there this weekend, a lot of people were just believing what CNN was saying. Yeah. I'm going, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes no sense. Do you understand this? It goes, oh, no, they didn't report on that, so that's not true. I'm going, mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. No, we were seeing that. Or like I told you, I was walking the dog, and it wasn't meant maliciously. It was meant in humor. But there was a few people that know both of us that are friends of ours are standing out there, and they started talking, of course, about COVID-19 and saying, you know, well, you know, this is what Dole thinks. And there was all sort of giggling, but because they know what you do. And like you said, you can't preach to people, and you don't. But if it comes you'll speak up and say, hey, you know, have you ever looked at this or considered this? And it's amazing. I was having actually this conversation with Shadow Designs this afternoon. And, you know, I usually share when I have something that's of interest, I will share it with Zach Mann, I will share it with Shadow Designs with you. I have kind of a small group like Seraphine or a few people because I know that they're open-minded to take a look at it. And yeah, we may not agree on it and that's okay, but we can have an adult conversation and agree to disagree. Even if, because you and I don't agree on everything either with when it comes to stuff,
yeah.
But that's how you learn. Like you learn from other people, or if there's something maybe that you know, it sort of strikes an interest or a question in your mind, yeah, go down the rabbit hole, follow that trail, see what you find and see if what you're finding is resonating with you or making some sense. And that's, you know, that's how we learn and we grow. I do want to add, there's some interesting conversations here a little bit to back up. Shadow Design said Goebbels, yes, and you can convince 1,000 people before you can convince one. And she said, I'm going to look for the exact quote. And then she said she spelled it for people who may not know because she corrected her
spelling. Goebbels.
Well, yeah, she said L-E-S, but the double B's. And then she said Goebbels, quote, think of the press as a great keyboard on which the government can play. Isn't that scary? The actual quote.
I got that quote. I got it when I go back inside there after the smoke there, I'll give you the quote that he had there about changing history there.
Yeah. But even if you think of that, think of the press as a great keyboard on which the government can play. I think that's pretty telling. And Zach Mann said, I saw an old cartoon, I think, from SNL called Mediaopoly, summed up which media company owned what. Agreed. So there, the reason why I was going to bring this up, I don't know if any of you have seen this, but apparently there was a group of people that stormed CNN, probably, I believe it was in the last month or so, probably last couple of weeks. I'm trying to remember what the date was. Somebody sent this to me and they had signs that said hashtag Pizzagate and the big hashtag out there right now is save the children. And the thing is, when I read the comments below, my mouth dropped. There was only about 8 or 10 comments on this post, but every single one of the people were saying, oh my gosh, it's been proven that this is all fake, that there's no truth to this. These people are tinfoil hat wearing people. And I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And I shouldn't be, but I was, because you know they're listening to the mainstream media. I'm watching another documentary actually before we went live about somebody, and I believe it's addressing adrenochrome and SRA, which is actually called satanic ritual abuse for people that don't know. A lot of people think this is a myth or something that just comes out at Halloween or what, but even going down that rabbit hole, or look up red shoes. And I know Seraphine and Hurley and I have done a show on this earlier in 2019. And this stuff, yeah, I will tell you, it's not for the weak stomached or the weak minded. But when you realize how many children go missing, even in the United States alone, never mind from foreign countries or whatever, it will blow your mind. And people go ahead.
Did you watch the video there with the girl from The Net and Speed? What's her name?
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. She was on Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, I did watch it. Yep.
Yeah, and she was doing this puncturing thing there, and she goes, oh, what is it full of? And
well, it was for her skin to stay so youthful is where we need to go with that, yeah.
Yeah, why she was looking so young. And what it was is that the stuff that was in the little needles was fetuses. Mm-hmm. And so you're going, huh, why would you do something like that? Well, because you got to look young to be keep on going in Hollywood and to be whatever. And it was sort of like a little joke. And then now you have this big, huge thing with the abuse of Ellen DeGeneres going out there, what she's been doing in her camp. Mm-hmm. And she can't be unaware that stuff is going on there, because nobody is unaware of abuse. when it's going there, especially when she's been told many times. Mm-hmm. So it's well, really, Brad really Garrett, funny.
Brad Garrett, who's been on Ray Romano, I forget what the show was called, the show we had for Everybody Loves Raymond. He actually publicly came out and said basically, yes, that it's well known, or well known, if you will, secret, that everything that's now being revealed about her. I was going to bring this up tonight, but we didn't get on that topic on the host chat, that she's basically, for lack of a better word, known to be a major biatch, evil, nasty. And more people are starting to come out and speak out about this. Now, to me, what's going through my mind is, what did she do to piss off whoever is out there that pulls the strings, the puppet master for Hollywood? Because we all know Harvey Weinstein fell out of favor, and now Ellen DeGeneres is on the block. So what did she do? They're asked, because she was untouchable, basically. I mean, Ellen was like the be-all to the end-all to everyone. I know she wasn't to you, but you pick up that. Actually, the Dell does pick that up about energy-wise, usually, and he's not usually wrong about it. I'll give him that. Well,
that's the funny thing there, too, is that another video came out there, too, about Oprah Winfrey, too. And this has been talked about for about 2 years, and nobody wanted to talk bad about Oprah Winfrey because she's giving away cars and homes and all that stuff, right? Because she's giving out all these presents. But
Todd was her best buddy.
Yeah, and, well, isn't it funny that Oprah Winfrey and Ellen DeGeneres both did give away, when you have somebody that gives away stuff, lots of stuff for free, and then you find out later that maybe there might be something going behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like it's this is just alleged. Just make that sure that it's alleged. But there's been lots of things like, how did she rise to such huge power? Mm-hmm. And people will say, "Oh, because she was such a great reporter. She was such the best. And she did this. She made deals." And yeah, well, what deals did she make?
Actually, you know what, Zach Mann, I'm going to read Shadow Designs a few comments here, but Zach Mann reminded me about who first fell from grace here. So Shadow Designs says the real hashtag now is hashtag save our children, because there are too many deniers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then she said, now Mel Gibson doesn't sound so crazy. He said he tried to out these people for years, and yes, he did. He's been blacklisted, I believe, it's since 2006, and he called it all out. And you know who else I was kind of thinking about? I'm still on the fence. Remember when Dave Chappelle walked away from his show, and basically, where does he live? Like in the middle of nowhere.
Well, Brad Pitt called out Angelina Jolie, Well, the weird thing there is, you want to say Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman during that whole fiasco. And if you follow back at the rabbit hole through who Nicole Kidman's dad is.
And I didn't even about that in the beginning. Remember, I said I never seen anything about it. Well, I wasn't looking in the right place. You were right. If you look up her father, and there is a very famous SRA victim who has come forward. Her name is Fiona Barrett, I believe. I listened to one of her testimonies in front of a tribunal. It was right during COVID. There was, I think he must have been from, probably emigrated, I believe, somewhere in Africa, and there were other people there. And she testified for an hour and a half what she had been through. She is from one of these families that was born into that practices satanic ritualism. And when you hear what these, and this isn't just one or two people, or if you look up, there's two little kids out there by the name of Gabriel and Elisa. And it came up in my newsfeed on YouTube a couple of years ago. This is what started me to start realizing all about the adrenochrome, SRA, the red shoes. Macaulay Culkin came out and talked about that. I'm sure we all remember, those of us that are old enough, that Heather O'Rourke, she was from that movie. I always forget what the name of it was. It was a horror movie. And she kept saying, "They're here." It was with the TV. probably Zach will remember and type it in here. And she died
From Poltergeist?
Poltergeist, yeah. And she died very mysteriously, I believe around 11, 12 years of age. And Macaulay Culkin came out last year. He was in France living at the time, and he talked about the red shoes. And I won't get too deep into it, but if you're interested or you're curious, take a look, but it's not for the weak stomached. Needless to say, that was scrubbed from the internet within about an hour or two after this French magazine posted his interview. I did see it, because once it's on the internet, usually you can find it in the Wayback Machine, or people take screenshots, whatever it may be, and it will horrify you if you read what he claims really happened to this little girl. And this is not uncommon.
And what happened to him, too.
Yeah, what happened to him, or, you know, as much as people like to make fun of Corey Feldman, he's put his name out there. But I did want to go back to the comments, because Zach
The one thing is, don't put Corey Feldman in there, because Corey Feldman still spoke out. I'm very on the fence about him. I think he's just looking for attention and taking stuff. And I have a real problem with that, because if you put him in there with people that were actual victims, then this sort of unjustifies their
victim. Not calling him a victim. All I'm saying is, and yes, he's been discredited, it's very questionable about what his motives are, but he did speak out. That's all I'm saying. I didn't say he was a victim.
I'm just saying that when you put him in there, it just sounds nuts. And it takes away from people that actually have some sort of legitimacy to their stuff there. And Corey Feldman, you cannot trust that
guy. I said was he spoke out. And I think it's important to mention that, because he did. Now, whether it was for whatever his motives were, okay? I'm not calling him a victim. All I'm saying is he spoke out. Was he the authority? No. There's a great documentary that's out there about what goes on in Hollywood and the pedophilia. There's so much of this going around that I don't think people realize. That's all I was saying. But I do want to read Zach's comment here, because I did forget one of the first that I think fell from glory. He said, Ellen is more dead weight, just like Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. Remember Bill Cosby, when this came out, like, people were shocked. And Shadow Designs has another good point here. She said, Rosie O'Donnell is very quiet these days, too. She is. Thanks, Zach. I knew you'd put it in there. Dell came up with it. Poltergeist. I always forget the name of that movie. Shadow Designs said, she was said to have had the flu, but it was also symptoms of syphilis. Now, I guess that's alleged. I haven't come across that. Have you? I don't know if you're addressing Shadow Designs, whether you were talking about Rosie or Ellen or who you were. And then she said, his best friend killed himself. He was traumatized. Bieber's also speaking out. Yes, I did see that, Justin Bieber. That song, Yummy, what it's really about. He's starting to speak out again. Is it true or isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's funny there, because I just started following this thread through Reddit and through a bunch of different things there about Justin Bieber with his manager and what was being
Scooter Braun.
Yeah, and stuff that was being done with him back when he was like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and it's all sort of going out now. Is that actually true? Could be or not, but the whole thing that was said. But Scooter Braun's been sort of a flaky character that you actually could sort of almost think, yeah, it's possible. But thing is, it was
he was with Usher before, though, too, and Usher entered this field very, very young as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's the thing there, too, is because there's certain little flares, I guess you would say, that they both sort of have, and it's sort of a little bit weird, and the protection that the Scooter Braun wants to do and the control that he sort of has. Like, this is the whole big thing there that came out with this MK Ultra.
You're reading my mind. I was just going to bring that up. Go ahead. Sorry. And then I'll tell you what I was going to
say. with the MK Ultra, with the sex bunnies, sex kittens, and the controllers and the people in there, he seems like he would have fit the mold.
Well, who was that actress? Allison, I forgot what her last name was. She got, she was on one of the shows.
Lisa Milano?
No, she was the blonde girl. Was it on, my brain never works with names when I'm on it live. It's the Superman show when he was, like when he was.
Oh, that's the Nexium girl. Oh, yes. Allison Mack.
Okay, what was the name of the show? What was the name of the show he was on?
Smallville.
Yeah. She was on there, and she's been...
She was grooming girls and bringing them out there. And then the thing was that we found out about it was that she was taking a hot metal wire and making the symbol in the inside of their thighs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I knew Zach would
come up with it. I watched about 5 different documentaries on that stuff there and that. And you know what? Really, the whole thing of the Nexium thing. The Nexium stuff, this is how crazy this stuff goes. Okay, if anybody's out there listening on the show here and wants to go down the rabbit hole, Nexium is linked to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's linked to China. It's linked to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. It's mixed to a whole bunch of things. And if you go into this stuff, and I'll give you guys receipts there later on there, and you'll see where money was all exchanged between all the different parties, and it's crazy how it is. And then people go, that doesn't happen. That's crazy.
Because people don't want to see it. And I'm going to go back to that. I've mentioned this documentary many times. It's Anonymous, 777 on YouTube. And she's from she's from Dutch. My mouth is not working. Sorry, guys. She's from Holland, and she's a Dutch filmmaker. And she did a 10-part series. It's almost 3 hours long, and it's called The Fall of the Cabal. And it starts with the first chapter is things that make you go, and you start looking, and she started connecting the dots, and you start seeing where all these things start falling into play, and it's always the same names or the same families. But that when you mention MK Ultra, and I had also talked about recently this Kevin Shipp, that was an ex-CIA, he had been there for 20 years. He talked extensively in this 3-hour talk. Again, it's on that channel, Anonymous 777. He talked about how much power the CIA has and what they're responsible for, including MK Ultra. Canada played a big part. I believe a lot of it was done in McGill University, especially. There were other places as well. But I, again, just watched another, and I'm really grateful for these documentaries. I know you got to keep an open mind, do your own research. But remember Britney Spears, when she supposedly had a mental breakdown? We've seen it with Amanda Bynes. We've seen it with a lot of these young kids that were in Hollywood or music, starlets, and with Britney's when she shaved off her hair. And I'd never heard this with
Disney programming.
Well, no, but it wasn't done. What I was going to say, when she shaved her hair off, people couldn't believe it. And this one person went down the path, apparently, that has something to do with really pushing about your hair. And this wasn't unusual. I can't verified. I haven't found the source anywhere else, but they were talking about this as one of the reasons why to disassociate from this was to shave her hair off. But the part that got me, there is a video clip out there of Britney. I don't know how old she is. She might be about 23, 24. And she literally flips a switch. She's getting interviewed by, I believe it's Diane Sawyer. And she starts to actually start to cry, and then she stops, and then she starts talking about strawberries. It makes no sense. And it's almost like, I don't know if somebody said a word to get her back on track or what it was, and she snaps completely out of it. And you can tell, and there's been a few videos like that if you look them up. Al Roker, there's one, and with Shaquille O'Neal, they are just literally staring ahead, they do not blink. Al Roker, how long was that for? We watched that video with quite a few of these people in Hollywood, remember?
Yeah.
How long was it with Al Roker? I believe, because until they said a word, the female that was with them, it was something to do with Easter, or it was a particular word, and he just snapped out of it. It was just crazy. Are you looking it up
right
now?
I'm going to see if I can find it. Anyways,
okay, because I can put the link in the chat here. But we're seeing this. For those of you who might not know what MK Ultra is, it's a type of programming that I don't know, and this is really simplistic because it's a lot more involved, but it's basically a lot of mental programming, can be pain, can be torture, but that you want to cause the mind to fracture into different personalities, and you can control the person with a word, if you will, or a phrase. Go ahead.
Okay, no, what it was is that MKUltra, see, this is the problem that everybody thinks is just one thing, okay? And that's what's totally wrong, is that MKUltra was a series of CIA projects and with the military, and they did 174 different programs, and they were testing unaware people in the U.S. in prisons, mental institutions, hospitals, and picking people up off the road.
The beginning.
And just doing this. And this is what they were doing. And no, Kate, and this is going to sound bad, but it's if you listen to this, okay. So if you look back at World War II with the Nazis, and when they tested on the Jewish faith, and they did that, and they tested all the prisoners, they did a lot of experiments, and they brought medical science ahead, like huge amount, testing stuff, because they were testing twins, doing things on them, and testing different people.
Was it Himmler?
And children, they were testing everybody, but Mengele was the doctor.
Mengele, that's who it was, Mengele.
Yeah. Testing a lot of stuff and doing autopsies on live human beings and stuff like that, and lots of really gross things, considerably really, really bad. But it actually advanced medical science a lot further than what it is. So what the CIA did was during the Cold War, is that he thought the Russians or the Nazis were doing these mental programs, right, to go over and brainwash people. And so the U.S. said, well, what is we going to do with this? It says, so they started the LSD thing. Okay, so the LSD thing went into the part with the Haight-Ashbury part. That was a test sample, but they were also testing all around the country in prisons, hospitals, schools, and just horrendous things that the U.S. government was doing. And Canada was doing the same thing too as well.
We were agreement with it, yep.
And people aren't aware that this stuff was going on. They're going, why would anybody do anything like that? And that's what it is. And there's a couple books out there there's a new book that just came out. I'm going to see if I can find it there, about what the MK Ultra program was doing with Charles Manson. Because a guy that was doing that many offensive criminal acts, why he would be just automatically be released from jail, right? Anybody else would be in there for 10 to 20 years, but he was being released all the time because they were testing.
What I just seen? Hold that thought for a second. I can't verify this, but this was somebody that came on a show with Oprah talking about satanic ritual abuse, saying that Charles Manson, I can't verify it, but it may support what you're saying, is that he, what was done to Sharon Tate was part of this, as part of those murders. I can't verify it, but they said he volunteered. He worked with the CIA. He was an operative. I don't know if it's true.
No, that's not what it is. He was inducted as a test sample because he was already in jail beforehand. So he applied for that. And then
well, they said
he had a very convincing personality that brought other people in. But the thing is, was that this is the whole part that, see, people don't want to realize that good people do bad things and bad people sometimes do good things. But a lot of times, the people you think are doing good things, mm-hmm. they think they're good, are actually bad, and they're doing bad things. And that's the big point that nobody wants to realize.
Or that people that are celebrated, not Charles Manson, because I'm going to, what you're talking about, MK Ultra, yes, I agree with you. Well, what I was referring to was people that have been, like children that have been victims of this with SRA and MK Ultra programming with the SRA, or we're seeing Hollywood starlets or seeing people in Hollywood that do we know if they were willing victims? No. Do we know if that happened to them? No. But this is some of the stuff I've seen more recently where what MK Ultra has evolved into is subjecting these children to really horrible, awful things a child would never be subjected to, is to fracture the personality, if you will. And so that, and these people aren't even aware of what they're doing if they are used in that way by any of the alphabet organizations, is what I'm talking about. They've got a word. What movie was it that if they whispered Rosebud, the person would basically
Rosebud. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was one of the parts. That's an old movie. But the thing is, was that this is the funny part, is that all these terms of fracturing a person's mentality, keeping mm-hmm. them in prison and teaching them and doing things, like this has been talked about for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And now it's just coming to light. Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing out of it. And the thing is, so this all goes with the wealthy and the elite. And that should not be that way, the wealthy and elite. If you ever watch the movie The Devil's Rejects, that was done by Rob Zombie there, it's just like, that could be done by the poor too as well, where you train people a certain way and a philosophy. And this gets the whole part, and we can go on the whole part about how religion indoctrinates people without knowing, and you're taught a certain way, or even with schooling, like school, public school and Catholic school and whatever you want to have there, it's a set of rules. You have to repeat, regurgitate what the teacher's telling you to get your mark to pass. If you have a conflicting argument against that part, then you fail. And then now you can't fail. Anyways, in Canada, you can't fail.
But I know what you're saying. And, we were using English, at least, and we can only speak from a Canadian perspective from education. But what we, if you say for English, for example, and we were just discussing this with one of your friend's daughters that's still in high school, and even one of our neighbors went back as an adult to get their English, but it's basically about regurgitating whomever is teaching the subject and doing it exactly the way they want it. And if you don't, you could be a great creative writer or great whatever, but not following the formula. But I think that you had a really good point, Del, that you've always said that basically, and I have to agree with you, even going to university for nursing, and you've been in many different, you've been in environmental engineering, you've taken many different programs, all that really teaches you that you're able to sit there, you're able to listen, and you're able to regurgitate. And think about this, folks, if you've gone to any kind of school, where does all the learning happening in real life? Even as a nurse, anything I learned in a book was nothing compared to what I learned when I was actually on the job training. And a lot of the stuff I took, I've never, ever even used, ever. And it's like, yes, why am I taking this, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That I found this in about 3 or 4 different trades and different jobs. Even when I worked for the government, it says, everything you learned in school, throw it away. This is what it is here. All we wanted you to know is that all we wanted for you to have be here where you are now is that you were willing to be trained and that you could follow rules. And that was that's basically the be-all. And I can talk to you about 500 people, friends on my friends list and stuff like that. As soon as they left university or college or high school, it says, forget everything you knew. This is how it goes. Mm-hmm. And it's true for anything, right? It's like, so now you're put in debt that you had to pay back, all this money for debt for going to school for something that you're going to relearn on the job. Mm-hmm. But just that they know that you were able to learn.
But you can't get so the job paid without doing it, without going to school.
Right. That's the joke.
Well, actually, Shadow Design, she does remember that part I was mentioning earlier when I was talking about, I forget who it was, one of the starlets we were talking about, but she did say the human brain is so malleable and we can convince anybody. She said, trust your instincts. And I agree with that. And I've had people that don't have the same view, but I truly believe we were all born with, you want to call it a sixth sense. Some people will say, I'll trust my gut on that. I'll follow my gut. A lot of women call it women intuition, whatever it is. And I truly believe that we are capable as human beings of so much more than what we've ever been told is possible. But it's been drilled into our heads that you can't do that, or it's not possible, or whatever it may be. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is that, don't get me wrong in here, it says, I think education is great.
Oh, yeah.
I think education, I learn every day. And mm-hmm. I think school is good, too. But I think the way the formula for school that you have to go through stuff that makes you financially indebted is bad. But, I learn stuff every day. And I'm reading every day. And I'm finding out stuff every day. And that's great, and I learn from people. I learn different things. My opinion changes every day. Like mm-hmm. I learn some little different thing that I never thought a different way, and that's all well and great. But the thing is that I'm not flip flopping or whatever. But I'm just seeing things from a different perspective, and I think that's what people need to do is look at life or look at the situation from something like a different perspective and see it for what it is. Like this BLM, Antifa, burning down cities is totally wrong. And I can't, if you could explain it to me that makes sense, that you're destroying single family homes, that they're losing their home because you went and robbed their store, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you can say if you can go and justify that makes sense to me or everybody else, then you know what? Then hey, then you can convince me. But you know what? You can't. Destroying somebody else's home and stealing from somebody else does not make any sense.
No, it doesn't to most people. But what we're finding here, you're actually talking about, I was just going to go with this, is I don't understand why, and it seems to be a large portion of society, we're not talking just here, I'm talking, most bigger countries or developed countries, if you will, especially, where people feel like they need a leader rather than, and you'll see it in a group. You'll see it. Like everybody's looking to one person to tell them where things, how things are happening or what everybody's going to do or how they're going to do it, instead of realizing that we're all capable of, there's nothing wrong with cooperation, there's nothing wrong with working as a group, but there's also, you don't need to have somebody tell you what to do. And that's what I'm finding, this is where we're getting with this thinking, is people are looking, whether it's one news source, well, my friends watch it or whoever, I'm just using an example. You know what I'm saying? Where we hear the word, the sheeple mentality, is everybody follows it. And we've seen it, if you will, with BLM and what's been going on with the riots. And people aren't realizing where this is all coming from. And again, these are our opinions and what we found when you go a little deeper than just mainstream media. and take a look around, and maybe you'll, you know, when I'm saying the global youth, that they'll find something different that will open their eyes to something completely different. But just to jump on the bandwagon, because, you know, people, the sheep are all yelling BLM, and everybody's jumping on that, or jumping on everybody that says all lives matter. And then all of a sudden, you know, like I said, it's getting crazy out there. Instead of people thinking for themselves, everybody's like almost going in a wave, following everybody else instead of being an independent thinker. What do you think?
Well, this is the problem, right? So, maybe it's not the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. Who knows? The thing is, though, is that when you have a group that is anti-racist and says that everybody's a fascist and stuff like that, and then you're actually being more of a bigot and a racist than people that aren't. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to look at back. If you look back about 60 years ago or 70 years ago, where you provided for your family off of your own property, that's the way a thing is. And you do bartering. So say I grew potatoes and you grew corn, and I needed some corn. You have potatoes and I have potatoes, I go and trade. Well, this is the thing where capitalism has sort of switched it the other way, is right. Everything, this taxation system, I've talked about this before, about inflation rates have gone way out of proportion and stuff like that. But you've moved people into city centers, okay?
Yeah.
So you're in a city, and what do you have there? You don't even have a balcony. How can you grow enough food for you to last for the year? You can't, because you're living in this little small city. You work at a job that works as some, like, this is the mentality of this thing that pushing everybody in tighter and tighter and tighter. And a lot of people, and this is a really weird thing, is that people, like, they all mock preppers, right?
Yeah.
That are going out and moving away and setting up their own property. Yep. And growing their own crops and getting away from that, putting in solar panels and getting off the grid and stuff like that. And people are going, oh, you guys are dumb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they live in the city. Well, guess what the city has as well? We have bars and we have fancy restaurants and we have concerts and we have all this stuff. And you don't see the turnoff out of that, is that, how is that going to make you survive if that the power goes out, right? So you look at this, right? I always tell you about this, the law of threes, right?
Yeah.
3 minutes without air, 3 minutes or whatever, 3 days without water, 3 days without earth, or 3 weeks without food, right? That's the most important thing. And even looking even at schools, okay, getting away from stuff that doesn't have to be electronic, like they like removing home ec, removing shop, removing music, removing all the
cursive writing.
Cursive writing there too. Yeah, that's another thing. That's not really important though, but it still is. It's something that kids now can't sign their name. That's pretty. I won't say retarded, but maybe.
Ridiculous. But assuming
ridiculous.
That,
you know, but the thing is, was that there's life skills that should be learned, and schooling all the way through it is all taught to you to learn about Shakespeare. Who cares about Shakespeare? It's good to know him and good to maybe do a couple stories of him, but wouldn't like mass and learning to fend for yourself and learning how to survive and
life skills versus, and nothing wrong with education, you know, exposing you to different types of art form or whatever you're saying there. I agree with you. I do want to read this, so couple comments here, because actually Zach Nanette had a good point here. He says, I've asked people who support BLM and Antifa how they justify destroying someone else's home and livelihood. They all keep saying the same thing, and you were so right about this, Zach, you wouldn't understand. And he says they never give me a valid argument. And yeah, the other part,
because they just like anarchy.
Well, I wanted to add this part too. He said, if Black Lives Matter to BLM, Why are they destroying the livelihood of innocent people within their own community?
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
And then I want to say hi to Shannon Casey. She's here. Welcome. And she said, much like the argument about masks. And we talked about this just on the Centralist about masks. And you're right. You had said, you know, even with an N95, you should have it fitted to your face, really. And I think it was Michael Angley that said he had heard a great analogy. And I was laughing because it was so true. But he said somebody just made the analysis that wearing, say, a paper mask is like trying to keep mosquitoes out of your yard with a chain link fence. And he's right. Yeah. Right?
That's true. Yep. No, this is the controversy that's happened there, and this is the flip flopping. I keep on seeing that flip flopping that has happened. Is that people that are in power are only out there for their own power and their own wealth, right? And they don't care about you and me. They destroy the middle class, destroy everything else, and just get everything. So you have a high class and a low class. That's right. Remove the middle, because the middle was doing really, really good for a long time. And they were like, you remember even here in T-Bay, it's like when the mills were running and we had like 5 lumber mills running and everybody's there and boats out fishing and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, that slowly dwindled down, and then all of a sudden, next you know, regulation. Oh, now you need a fishing license. Now you need a boating license. Now you need this. Now you need this to go. It's ridiculous. It's just like,
I think you hit the nail on the head if you think about this. So you were talking about what we really should be teaching our kids in school, right? Our skills, that life skills that prepare us for life. Now, when we're not being taught that, then you have to rely on whether it's a system or what it is, right? Then you got to have more reliance instead of on yourself and using your own resources from things that you've been taught to learn how to, like, even like you mentioned it, people living off the grid, and people are made fun of. A lot of people are made fun of this. Yet, you know what? Think about our forefathers, if you will. Like, you even mentioned that too, when we grew our own food, when we lived off the livestock, when we you know, everything wasn't done with electricity and ease and facility. We had a lot less illness when we had organic, natural food, not all these chemicals.
Exactly true.
It was a difficult way of life. I will give them that. But the thing is that, you know what? There was a lot more sense of a community because people didn't live right next to each other. You knew that in an emergency, hopefully you knew the neighbor, whether it was 5 or 10 miles away. But people acted like people back then, and you relied on, I don't know, I think there was a lot more personal relationships. I believe people were healthier. Like, think about that. If we actually went to that way of living here, besides that people would, my God, I don't even know how they'd cope. But the thing is, if we had some of the conveniences that we have nowadays, but we went back to that way of living, imagine just what would happen with the world.
Yeah. Think about it. Well, that's very, very true. Because you know what? The big thing there was that, how many people actually know all their neighbors? And we talked about this before, and it's very, very rare that people actually, they want to be, hey, this is my place. I don't want to know anybody. I got this, and I'm done with anybody else. And they don't know that. But when push comes to shove and you need some help, you don't know those people at all. Like, we're fortunate where we came here in this new move that we end up meeting people that are around here and learning about who they are and what's going on with them. Like, as
you know what pulled
they've helped us out, and we've helped them out.
No, but you know what pulled it together? But Dell is just like that. He talks to everybody, and a lot of people really didn't even know each other or, you know a lot of things. So it was nice. But I think what really pulled us together was the city was working in the back on a Friday at 4:30. They cut the wrong cable and the internet went out. that's really when we met a lot of people too, wasn't it? Besides that, you had started forging those relationships, so saying hello to everybody that people didn't say, but that's when people were actually out in the front lawn talking, hey, have you got internet? Have you got internet? And starting to get to know people as well. But then again, people assume, say for example, that the internet's always going to be there. Well, yes, the way things are right now, but it doesn't take very much for something to knock the internet out. What are you going to do then? And people are so reliant on that. They're assuming that we're always going to have computers, or we're always, yes, I hope we do, and I hope we keep evolving, but I don't think that there's such a negative thing with still, you know, learning about other things just in case. I've actually said this on the weekend when we were out at camp, that I think our generation, you and I think Shannon probably follows in the a little bit earlier age, but still the same generation. We've been one that has had the biggest evolution from what we had when we were small children to where we are now, right?
Yeah.
Because we had black.
Like I find it funny. There's that. Not funny, but I'd like it. Is that my one cousin there? Like she's posting videos of learning about canning and doing mm-hmm. vegetables and gardening and stuff like that. And I'll tell you about a whole bunch of people that I know around here. Well, we started all gardening. And recently, haven't been doing it for a long time, but a lot of people that don't know how to do that, then this is, it's surprising. And that's life skills, like mm-hmm. the law of threes, important things, right?
No, but what I was talking about with technology was when you and I'm 5 years older than you, but when we were little, we had black and white TV with two channels and a TV antenna. We've gone through things like the earliest computers to what we have now. We've gone through Walkmans. We've gone through albums and record players. We've gone through CDs to DVDs. There's been so many changes in technology through this that I don't know. Maybe we will continue to see that kind of growth. I don't know. But again, I don't think it'll ever serve you wrong, like you said, to have some of these life skills. Because well, I think... Go ahead.
Well, that's the part that's going on there, and it's been talked about over the past sort of a couple of years about going technocratic. Mm-hmm. Technocratic. And going there and going in... technology-based society where everything is done there and done for you, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, was that if the power does go out, and I was through in Toronto back in the early 2000s where the power went out for 4 days. Everything, the fridge didn't work, the stove didn't work.
Hottest
all I had was a propane filled tank. Yeah, in the middle of summertime, 42 degrees with the Humidex, and it was just crazy. And it was like, okay, well, what are you gonna do? And I was in an apartment building, and I was like, oh geez, like I don't have any food, I don't have anything, like have to eat whatever I have, cook everything I have to cook, and just hoping for the power to come back. Couldn't even get gas because the gas pumps didn't even work. But you didn't ever plan ahead. And this is why we had that show there we did there on the other network there beforehand about what importance of having supplies, like being a prep. Now you don't have to be like a nut bar prepper.
Nope.
But just having things that are around that you can have, right? And that you could survive for maybe a week, right? And that's where I thought this whole thing went sort of off the wall when that little tweet went out there about toilet paper, and everybody went out there and grabbed all the toilet paper mm-hmm. and just crazy radicalism. And you don't need that. You can have stuff that's around and deal with what you have and make sure that you have supplies.
Or barter.
What are you going to do if you don't have any Band-Aids? And like, somebody's going to make a Band-Aid tweet, and then everybody goes out and takes all the Band-Aids? So like,
Well, that's what I was going to add here, because Shannon, there's a few comments that are supporting what you're saying. Shannon Casey said neighbors knew each other. Now you can have people next door and you have no clue what their name is. And then she said Dell's making that point now. Zach Mann said, when I lived in my apartment, the only neighbor I met was one that complained to be walking on my floor because he lived below me. I couldn't control the sound because my flooring was off, he said. We got off on the wrong foot. Later, he and I talked, found out we had a
apartment.
We both smoked cigars as a sign of peace. I gave him one of my favorite cigars. He goes, him and I became friends and relied on each other when things hit the fan at our complex. There's just one more comment. And Shannon Casey said, when we were young and doing wrong, neighbors would phone our parents and say that we were what we were doing. Now people don't even know whose kids are who, or who they're supposed to phone or say your child is doing something. And she's right about that, right?
Yeah.
What were you last about back?
Well, you know, like even out at camp, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm out at camp there, well, they call it Dell's Road.
Yeah.
And do. Everybody knows me along there, and I'm willing to help all of them. Mm-hmm. And they just go by, and they need a hand. I'm right there to go give them a hand. And yeah. I have no problem with that. And, mm-hmm. Even with my friend Marts and stuff like that, or across the lake or whatever, out there. And even around here, I have no problem helping people out. And that's the thing to be. Like, I think I had that tweet on Facebook there. It says that with that the family, it was outside the store. And everybody was coming out with their mask, and the guy's going, "Hey, right. I just need a boost.
Yeah,
can you give me a boost?" And they're going, and nobody would give him a boost.
Would
going,
offer even help? Wasn't his daughter crying? You said
daughter's crying that she couldn't get to her friend's place there because the car was dead. And I said, I came out, and I was watching through the window as I'm going through the checkout, and going, and people going by, nope, not gonna touch you. COVID, not going to touch you. And I just came out and says, what's your problem?
Yeah.
He goes, car won't start. He says, do you need a boost?
Yeah.
20 seconds it took me out of my day. Mm-hmm. And just gave the guy a boost. Boom. Daughter started, stopped crying.
Yeah, because she was little. You said she's like probably 8, 10 years old, wasn't she? Or was she a little bit older?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, that's just the in. Just the way that this whole Good Samaritan thing has sort of gone to the wayside and stuff like that. Nobody wants to help anybody, right? Because everybody got this fear. Because mm-hmm. this it's is what the government has put in this thing. Everything is fear. Oh, mm-hmm. And it's bad. Like, I understand there is bad people out there, and mm-hmm. you have to be aware of your situations. I'm not saying help everybody. And don't stop and help everybody, but mm-hmm. be aware of the situation and make sure you have protection if you do stop and do something. But it was just so weird.
Trust your gut. Like, if you feel, because I want to add that I said to Dell that there was one time I my vehicle wouldn't start. Nobody would stop and help me. I ended up having to go into, thank God it was actually in a shopping mall parking lot. Still had time, had to go run, grab my own cables. And if it hadn't been for one guy that finally came and offered to help me, I don't know when I would have got home. It was super freezing out. It was cold. I think you were home with our son, your stepson that has autism. There was no way you were going to be able to come out. Plus, I had the one vehicle that we had at the time, and nobody would help. But we're seeing this more and more. And you know what? A lot, some people, I guess, depending on where you live globally, maybe have been sued with the Good Samaritan law. You know, helping somebody thinking they're doing the best. I don't know what it is, but
well, people. Some people do scams, right? So mm-hmm. you just have to be aware of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you do. And again, like I said, we were going to talk a little bit. Sort of just wherever the conversation went, because I do want to, I mentioned about SRA and things like that, but where we're going in the discussion, I think it was Shannon that mentioned about masks, what we're seeing. There's so many flip-flops with this and so much misinformation and, you know, the reason why, what I'm seeing more that I'm finding a little promising is there are more and more people that seem to be posting they believe that this is a scam. I'm not saying it's a scam. I don't know anybody who personally who has had somebody that's passed away, but I've seen people post, maybe a friend of a friend, whatever. It is real. Yes, it's existed. But I think what a lot of people are waking up to is, not everyone, but more than I believe in the past, is they're realizing we're not being told the truth. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's true. And this is what I think we talked about or tried to talk about this with on the prior show. And is that I was trying to find stats on deaths for certain things all through the past 20 years and can't find them anymore. And the stuff that I had and I had written down, that's why I said I had what I had written down. I'm going, okay, and then going back to those sites are gone. So it's really sort of interesting because I don't, I can't say I don't know. I can say, is this more dangerous than another disease? Maybe, maybe not. There's no real definitive proof on that. But if you look at what the yearly totals for deaths for other things, were actually lower because there was people that were basically put in home, right? So a lot of more car accidents didn't happen. A lot more people falling off a horse didn't happen. A lot more people jumping out of a plane and their parachute didn't open. Yes, true. Yeah, all that stuff. But that's on one far side of the spectrum. Now, if you look at the COVID stuff and you look at the charts and you're going what they're saying for deaths for it, it's you're getting multiple different fluctuations on what it is. But the basic thing is it was that the one person that died in the U.S. under 20 already had a pre-existing condition. So did COVID push it over the rails? Maybe. You can't say that or yes or no.
I wanted to mention something about, in a minute, if I forget, remind me about the Mandela effect in erasing history. But the one thing I do want to repeat in support of that, that I said on the last show, for example, where we are in our city, it's been mandated you have to wear a mask like most places. In the U.S. as well, depending, I believe, on the state or what it is. But what was making me angry was going shopping at a particular store. Yeah, I'll wear my mask for you, fine. But my thing is that you've got some younger person sitting there, like a police officer, telling you you must use the hand sanitizer. And if you have a pump, I don't have a problem with using my elbow, but when I say to them, why are you making me pick up a spray bottle that over probably 100 people have touched, you're not washing it in between to sanitize my hands. My hands are now filthier. I might as well wash them in the toilet. Picking up your bottle and, you know, why are you guys doing this? Like, do you have a manager or somebody I can talk to about this? I have no problem if you want me to comply if I can use my elbow. But when I got to use my hands are now filthier and have more chance of getting COVID or whatever from picking up your bottle and having to spray it on my hands, right? And
well,
when I ask
this is the little part that they have these little 18, 19-year-old people that are enforcing the rules. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, though, is that they're sitting there going and says, well, as soon as you pick up the bottle and you spray your hands and you wipe your hands, then your hands are clean. It was the same thing.
I came in.
Right. But mm-hmm. It is the same thing as like the guy that went into Safeways to get a propane tank and the propane tanks are outside and he said mm-hmm. that I couldn't go inside unless I grabbed a cart. I go, why do I need to grab a cart if the propane tank's outside?
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense at all. It says, those are the rules. I'm going,
this is
that
what
makes
we're
no
seeing.
Sense at all.
I'm going to read Zach's comment here and Shannon's, but then you can share with them. You shared this with me from Rebel News about that girl that went to the park and what happened to her if she didn't comply with the rules.
Oh, Bria Humphreys.
Hang on. Shannon Casey said, I believe in karma too much. I will always stop and help. And I'm glad that you do. That's awesome, because as you've seen, a lot of people won't. Zach Mann said, if businesses require masks to enter or people want to voluntarily wear one, they have that right. Otherwise, no one should be required to wear a mask when they are out in public. But actually, Joe Montaldo, our producer and the owner of UPRN, said he's heard of about four cases, or there was at least that one case he was mentioning about a woman that was charged, and they couldn't charge her for not wearing a mask. So what they did charge her with was trespassing, because the security guard was trying to make her leave because she wouldn't wear a mask. So what are you going to do? But there were, Del, did you just, are you in earshot there? I don't know. He might have to open the door there for a sec. I'll see. But what I will bring up till he comes back, because what he's talking, he had shared with me on Rebel News, which is an independent news source here with the YouTube channel on, not usually it's live, but sometimes it is they have a new reporter. Her name is Drea, and she happens to be Black as well as Indigenous. And there's this tent city that's going up in, I believe it's British Columbia, and they're supposed to be out by 7 o'clock in the morning. And it seems like it's in a higher end neighborhood. But what's happened is nobody's enforcing it. And the city's already dropped off porta potties, they're dropping off water. When she came there, the first person that talked to her said, well, what are you bringing us? What are you bringing to enter this place? And she said they were trying to get her to stop recording that these are people's homes. Well, no, they're not. It's a public park. But she was really respectful, very kind. Then she had one guy yelling at her that how smart it was to send a Black woman in, and there was no way that she could be Indigenous, and she actually is half Aboriginal. And then she wasn't allowed into the park unless she agreed to put tobacco into the sacred fire. These people were claiming that they're Indigenous, that this park was stolen from them, and they're claiming it back. And yes, I mean, we could do a whole show on something like that. But her question was, I am half Indigenous, but I'm also Christian. And she said, so who am I putting this tobacco into the fire for? What God am I offering this to? I'm talking about Drea from Rebel News.
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah.
Okay. So I was saying the last part was obviously that she, it wasn't that she was opposed to offering tobacco into the fire. She wanted more information. And I think that that's a smart thing. Like, I'm not just going to do it because you tell me I have to do it. I'd like to know why am I doing this and what's involved with it, right? Did I miss anything with that?
Well, the thing is with that one there, that video that I showed you, mm-hmm. is they're occupying a park, public park, and refusing the rest of the population to go in there unless they agree with their beliefs. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you can only go in the park if you go and give an offering to their God that they believe in. And that goes against everything that in Canada that's there, because this is the part I was thinking about this, okay? Remember back, I don't know how many years ago it was, RCMP officer and needed to wear a turban. He couldn't wear the Canadian RCMP outfit because it was against his religious rights, so he had to wear a turban. Mm-hmm. And if you went against that, then you were being racially biased, right? And that goes in this whole thing of this SJW cancel culture kerfuffle that's out there, which is ridiculous, right? If you have a uniform, that'd be like says, hey, I can go out and play hockey, mm-hmm. but I'm going to put razor blades on my stick because that's what my religion calls for.
Religious beliefs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? It makes no sense. I don't know, that's being extreme off the far left, like the left is so normal, but yeah, okay, well, how about I play hockey with an axe, mm-hmm. and as I skate around and I go shoot the puck and I cut your leg off, mm-hmm. it looks like a hockey stick, but that's how ridiculous this BLM, Antifa, cancel culture, appropriating parks, and I'm going to call them it's a lot of homeless people and a lot of people that it's OSF stuff, funded stuff. They were actually, the leaders of that were actually staying in hotels, mm-hmm. while the rest of the homeless people were living in the park. Mm-hmm. They just come back down after a shower and a breakfast, go out there and hang out for a while, go back, have a nice meal, being paid money. Because George Soros has billions of dollars. So, it's just sad. And it's just sad that parliamentary people allow this to happen.
Well, actually, we have a few comments here. Shannon Casey says, I am sorry, but I don't mind wearing a mask. At this point, I would paint my face purple if it proved to help control the spread of COVID. And COVID is still a mystery. And agreed. Like, I'm not opposed to wearing a mask.
Can I put a sock in my mouth or put a cup in my face? What type of mask do you need? Because it was M95 masks, and now it's just a piece of cotton over top of your face.
Bandana or whatever. My thing is, I wear a mask because, yes, I have, my youngest son has severe asthma. Even if he catches a cold, it's really, really serious. So, yes, I don't have a problem with that. But what I had the problem with is, why are you making me expose myself to the germs of over 100 people that have touched this bottle when, again, I have no problem with even sanitizing my hands if you want me to do that, but make it safe for people. Don't make me pick up a bottle that I have my fingers around to spray when I could use my elbow. And then when I go home or when I get back in my car, I can use my stuff.
This is the mask I use. Mm-hmm. And I got 100 of them, and I bought 100 of them for $4 from mm-hmm. the dollar store.
No, and that's not a problem. But what I do want to add here, because Zach has a good point. He said here in the U.S., or actually he says that is a litmus test, talking about the turban. And he said here in the U.S. that would be considered illegal. And it may, Zach, but depending, I just read, I didn't get a chance to bring this up, actually the Satanic Church, and I'll send you the article after the show, they've been trying forever to get, believe it or not, and I'm not trying to open the can of abortion here, but that's what they're using, saying that it goes against their religious rights not to be able to do this. And there's a lot more involved, because we're almost out of time here, believe it or not. And so there are different things that people are using, saying that I can't do that because it goes against my religious rights. I mean, we could even get into Scientology. The money they're bringing in and claiming to be a religious organization, and we're seeing more and more of what's allowed to be able to use. I don't have to do that because I have a religious belief. And I'm not mocking people that have religious beliefs either. It's just that if you're going to be a police officer and you have to wear the uniform. Well, I'm Roman Catholic, I was brought up that way. And say I was going to be an RCMP officer. There was actually a hiring freeze, and then I met my husband and never ended up going back for the rest of the hiring process. But what I'm saying is, should I be allowed to wear a chain with my cross hanging out? And then that's a risk for everybody. What's somebody going to do? Grab it and choke me with it? Then one of my partners has got to come and help me. And I'm being ridiculous here. But what I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong with your religious beliefs, but I believe that if you're going to do a job and it's required of your job, most people know what's involved with the job, or if you find that out and maybe it goes against your beliefs, maybe there's something else you could be doing instead. And that's just my beliefs, but I don't know. What do you have to add to that, Del, quickly?
Okay. When it goes to construction, okay, when you do stuff, there are certain protocols you have to do. It doesn't deal with religion, doesn't deal with faith, it doesn't deal with your heritage. There are certain things you have to fall across and do, and that's all part of protocol so that it's for safety for everybody.
And I agree too. Right?
So this is where it gets weird, okay? So when you're dealing with building and safety and stuff like that, that is dealing with a lot of stuff, when it goes into governmental aspects, then all of a sudden religion and heritage come into the mix. And that's not right. It isn't right. Because
everybody's entitled to their religious beliefs. It's just, like I said, sure.
But the thing is, though, is that when you have a job, yeah. you apply for the job and you follow the aspects of the job.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't bring your religion and heritage into the job.
Mm-hmm. Right? I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you want to be a scuba diver and wear a turban or do something like that, that's there that you can't wear the suit? Mm-hmm. What? Everybody else has to change everything for you? Or I'm not just saying a turban. I'm just saying that because that's the biggest head thing that was done with the RCMP that
I
changed
know,
the uniform.
It up as an example.
Right?
I think the point we're trying to make, because we only got 2 minutes left here, hon, is that, and maybe we can further this discussion on a different show. And again, everybody's going to have different beliefs, but when you're going into a job, you pretty well know what your job description is. And you know what?
Follow the uniform for what you take exactly. for the job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I want to thank everybody that's in the chat room. I'm so glad you guys were all here. I want to give a shout out to Shadow Design. She had to duck out at the last few minutes there. Thanks, Shannon, for being here, as well as Zachman always supporting us, and Shadow Designs. We really, really appreciate that. I want to thank the Dell for being here tonight. We've had an interesting discussion, as I know we always do. Do you want to let people know where they can find you, Dell?
Well, usually I'm here on Monday nights there at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central on 107.7 FM, UPRN Radio.
In New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And it's the delicious recipe with your host, Adele.
Yeah. And just recently, we've had such really great host discussions. Next week on Mondays, it starts at 6 p.m. It'll be till probably supposed to go till 8 unless we have a really great discussion and it carries on till actually 9 p.m. into Dell's show. And next week, it'll be the paranormal. And then the other opposite weeks, we have the centralist. We talk about these kind of topics about, like tonight was COVID and various things. It has to do with a lot of things with politics. So it's quite interesting. So I hope you guys are able to join us, if you will, because really interesting discussions. I will be back tomorrow night with my other partner in crime, my bestie, Seraphine Hurley, with Tripping the Void. We are on the same time from 9 p.m. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern. If you ever want to get a hold of me, maybe you've got a show idea, questions, maybe you've got a guest suggestion, you can, or even if you want to book a psychic mediumship reading with me or Akashic Records, feel free to reach out to me on facebook.com/TheAngelRock. I also have two groups on Facebook, Paranormal University for all things paranormal, and the Angel Rocker Tribe for all things with whether it's esoteric, power, positive thinking, things like that. I want to thank you all for being here. Send you much love and light. Have a wonderful evening, and I will see you again tomorrow evening. We're still live. We're still live.
That worked out perfectly. As soon as they did the zoom in with the thumb up, it worked out perfectly when it stopped.
I think we're still live. I don't think I can see
us.
I don't know if Joe's heard us. We'll have to hang on. I might have to text Joe.
I thought it was going all perfectly. You ended up there and it came up there. close.
Nope, you're still live. I'm going to text Joe right now. I'll say, we're all done. Sometimes I have to remind him. I don't know how Joe does what he does anyways. He works all day long, and then he makes our job look so easy.
Saturday in the park.
We're still live.
It was the 4th of July.
We're still live.
Saturday in the park. There was a 4th of July.
No.
People dancing. No. People dancing.
Sorry, everybody.
Making ice cream. Searching for her dream.
So that he'll know we're done, Del. I just texted him.
Well, so what next soon? What else? Do, 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 do. Do 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 do.
Oh,
money. Do do do.
Okay, that's it. We'll just, if we're quiet, he'll know it's us, so that we're done. Because I did text him.
Well, because you're 5 minutes early.
Because we're supposed
hey.
To be.
Hey.
This is when we're supposed to be done.
Hey.
We finish 5 minutes early so that Joe has time to switch the other shows on, because we have another show coming on afterwards, remember?
Maybe.
Yes, we do. I don't know where Joe is.
Well, actually, you can do your promo now.
You can do my promo for everybody that's watching on YouTube still and listening.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'm not going to do my promo yet. That's going to be a surprise.
Well, I will. I'll do my promo.
You're not doing your promo because we're still live.
I'll do mine. This
we're
is my video
live.
Promo.
No, you don't need to do your video promo right now.
This is the delicious recipe that usually airs at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, and here on UPRN 107.7 FM, UPRN radio, and everywhere else in the ether. And you know what? It's all going to be smooth sailing.
So, sorry guys. Like I said, I don't know where Joe is, so we'll just keep talking.